the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Do you agree to know about forgiveness from Allah in the month of Ramadan? So, be with us.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب القلب الصديق.
But let's open the calendar. Today, Thursday, is the 5th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to verses 1 to 6 of chapter Ar-Rahman.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ar-Rahman,
the most merciful.
'Allama al-Qur'an,
taught the Quran.
Khalaqa al-insan,
created man.
'Allamahu al-bayan,
and taught him eloquence.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان.
The sun and the moon move by precise calculation.
والنجم والشجر يسجدان.
And the stars and trees prostrate.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is common knowledge that all the food used by mankind originally derived from plants, some of which are directly consumed by men and some are used to feed those animals constituting human dietary ingredients. It is applied to sea animals since they feed on minute plants, growing in millions throughout water under sunlight, floating in between waves. Thus, the word najm is applied to small creeping plants like pumpkin and cucumber, and the word shajar designated types of plants with stems, stalks, and trunks like gourds and fruit-bearing trees.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
What can we learn about forgiveness from Allah in the month of Ramadan? Forgiveness and receiving pardons is an essential part of faith in Islam, but the matter is even more vital in the holy month of Ramadan. It is an opportunity during this blessed month of reflection in regards to one's relationship with Allah the Almighty, for prayer, fasting, and earning Allah's mercy in the hope of having one's sins completely erased via repentance, provided a Muslim is sincere from his heart that he regrets his mistakes and to save oneself from the hellfire. So the concept of repentance and being forgiven for one's sins in Ramadan is by asking Allah to forgive continuously in this month of mercy, as good deeds of kindness, prayer, and reciting the Holy Quran are multiplied by up to 700 times than usual. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin ista'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the significance of seeking forgiveness and practical repentance in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan has many benefits, I mean, both physical and spiritual and religious, for those people who observe it, I mean, who observe religious piety and observe fasting, mandatory fasting. One of them is that those people who committed many sins throughout the year, in the month of Ramadan, they come to seek divine forgiveness and practical repentance because they find themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of observing piety and observing mandatory fasting. Here it must be indicated that the month of Ramadan is altogether the month of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieving practical repentance, whether for those people who are capable of fasting, observing fasting and practical fasting, and those people who may not be capable of fasting due to, for example, being on trip, or for example being ill or old age and so on. However, we find that throughout the month of Ramadan, this table of divine reception is always ready for everybody. So it depends on those people who may try to reach this table of divine reception. It's indicated in the Holy Quran that one of the traits of the pious people is that in case they commit a sin and they wrong themselves, they soon repent and ask the divine repentance and forgiveness. They ask the divine forgiveness and they try to achieve practical repentance. At the same time, we find that in the Holy Quran, all people are subject to wronging themselves and harming themselves, and this is because of the type of carnal desires and the type of satanic temptations that may affect all of us. We are not infallibles, and since we are not infallibles, we are subject to receiving these temptations and being affected by them. At the same time, it must be indicated that those people who are zealous in requesting and in seeking divine forgiveness and achieving practical repentance, they have more opportunities for coming up with this special favor in the month of Ramadan. First, because of the overall grace available in the month of Ramadan, and then because of their own desire and zealousness in this regard. Thank you.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat al-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
And the continuation of today's special on the month of Ramadan, Ramadan Messages for Forgiveness. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is all about seeking forgiveness for our sins. Intentionally and unintentionally, we all do something wrong, and the month of Ramadan gives us the chance to seek forgiveness for the wrong we have done. By fasting with all our hearts, we can seek forgiveness from Allah, and by offering our sweetest prayers, we can earn His blessings. The holy month of Ramadan is a glorious opportunity for all of us to start fresh with a positive body, mind, and soul. May the goodness of this month, the month of Ramadan, surrounded us and brings us happiness. May our hearts be free of guilt and souls be full of happiness. The month of Ramadan is all about seeking forgiveness for Allah and earning His blessings and love.
Allah, 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 Allah. الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
Under the title of Seeking Forgiveness and Forgiving Oneself in Ramadan, we are often told that the month of Ramadan is a month of mercy, reflection, and forgiveness from Allah for our sins and shortcomings. However, many of us forget that forgiving ourselves is a part of the healing and repentance process. We may have made some awful life decisions or actions or sins, but the key is to forgive yourself. It is in the month of Ramadan that we are meant to not just hear the recitation of the Quran and read Quran, but to truly connect with Him, Allah. It is in this time where we're not only meant to gain Allah's forgiveness, but forgive ourselves. The month of Ramadan is designated for the brokenhearted, the regretful, and the God-conscious. To gain Allah's mercy, we must be merciful to ourselves. It is in the month of Ramadan that we are reminded of Allah's love for us, and we must learn to love ourselves too. It is in this month that Allah brought His beloved the gift of Salah, ritual prayer, for 5 times a day. We have 5 times to speak to the source of ultimate peace, comfort, and healing. May Allah accept all your good deeds and fasting and prayers.
This is the holy month that we have to take advantage of. This is the time that the gates of paradise are open. This is the month of opportunities. In a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says, if people knew the value of the month of Ramadan, they would wish for this month to be a whole year long. They would wish that it would be a whole year long, a month of ibadah. They wish it would be a year of ibadah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he tells the Muslims, before the beginning of the month of Ramadan, he tells them, Subhanallah, ماذا تستقبلون وماذا يستقبلكم. Subhanallah, ماذا تستقبلون وماذا يستقبلكم. Rasulullah repeats this 3 times. Subhanallah, all glory is due to Allah. You say Subhanallah when it's something that is very important. Subhanallah, ماذا تستقبلون? What do you welcome? And what welcomes you? What is our perception of the month of Ramadan? And how does the month of Ramadan come to us? I see some people before the month of Ramadan, they're worried. They're worried how they're going to go hungry, how they're going to be tired, how they're going to be exhausted, how they're going to regulate their sleep. Yes, these are all worries that we have. But if we knew the value of the month of Ramadan, this would all be nothing.
Inshallah, we continue and we speak more about this topic that is about the month of Allah. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في
في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان
ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and here are some guidelines for the fasting from the Prophet's 15th infallible heir, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, who quotes the Prophet's advice to Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. O Jabir, whoever fasts the days of Ramadan, stands for prayers in the part of its nights, guards his or her sexual desires, reins in his or her tongue, lures his or her gaze, and injures not the feelings of others, will become free of sins as on the day he or she was born.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith and narration which has been transmitted from the fifth Imam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And this tradition is about the world, the dunya. In it, the Imam gives a parable, gives an example for the world. He compares the world to something. It should be mentioned that the world has been mentioned, the dunya, the world has been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, and God Almighty Himself has mentioned many parables and examples of this world. For example, in one verse of the Holy Quran we read, "Draw for them the parable of the life of this world. It is like the water we send down from the sky. Then the earth's vegetation mingles with it. Then it becomes chaff, scattered by the wind. And Allah is omnipotent over all things." This is one of the parables that Allah mentions regarding the world. In this tradition, the Imam compares the world to a house. Let's look at what the Imam says in this parable. By way of passing, we should mention that because we're in the month of Ramadan, this is a very sacred month, this is a very holy month. In this month, we need to distance ourselves from the world, from the worldly things. We need to turn back to God. By understanding what the world is, through these parables that our A'imma alayhimus salam have given and that God has mentioned in the Holy Quran, it can help us in staying away from the world and relinquishing it. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Consider your sojourn in this world, your stay in this world, just as a house that you stayed in and soon departed from, or an object of perfection that you witnessed in a dream, then you awoke and not a thing from it remained with you." Right? The Imam compares it to two things. A house that you were staying in for some time and that you left. Like, let's say you were renting a house, you stayed in it for some time and then you departed from that house. Right? So the world is like this. We came in here, we stayed here for a while, and then we left. Another thing that the Imam compares the world to is like something that we see in a dream. Right? We might see something in a dream that we enjoy or we become happy at witnessing. We might even feel that it's real while we're dreaming. And then when we wake up, we realize, no, it was not real. It was just a figment of our imagination in a dream. The world is something like this. In continuation, the Imam says, "I have given you this parable because this world, according to the people of the intellect and knowledge of Allah, is just like a shadow in the shade." In the end of this tradition, the Imam mentions a third example for the world. He says that the world is like a shadow in the shade, like a shadow of something that falls and is cast in the shade. Just like a shadow is very fleeting, it's very transitory, it doesn't last very long. As soon as the sun sets, it ceases to exist. In a similar manner, the world is like this, right? It's for us, right? For us, it's transitory. It doesn't last very long. Once we die, we forsake it and it finishes for us. Now, because of this, because of the transitory nature of the world, right? We shouldn't attach ourselves to it. We should attach ourselves to that which is long-lasting, and that is the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the parable of the world. In the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Oh yeah, respected brothers here and all the respected brothers and sisters all over the world who are hearing us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School Networks and especially the students of Sevier International School Network. Alhamdulillah, we are back with the series of Quranic sessions and I really welcome you all, especially our friends, Minhal Hussein Nasir, Muhammad Yahya, Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari, and Mahdi Chasib Abdul Karim Al Husayna, right? Yes?
No.
And of course, I am Habibullah Fasihi Zadat. So, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. Let's go on and continue reciting Suratul Baqarah. So, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ Right?
Yes.
It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you. I did and he did.
No. You were reading the same ayah, the new ayah.
No, you were reading the same ayah. Come on.
So, go on.
Baby.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ
You're supposed to read the next ayah. أَلَا
إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ
Yeah, here. This one is not ayah.
Oh my gosh, now they're chatting again.
Which one, 12 or which one?
12, yes.
Just 12. 12.
Huh? Sir, we read this.
No, we didn't.
Ala innahum, no. 12 starts from وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ.
No, it starts with Ala innahum.
Ala innahum is from 11.
Ala innahum.
Look. Muslihun, the ayah finished. Look. Innama nahnu muslihun, ayah finished.
Yeah.
So the next ayah starts with Ala innahum.
This is small one, I think.
Do you need my glasses? Huh?
He needs new glasses. Those glasses cannot make him see.
أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ
MashaAllah. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Mahdi. Again, the same ayah. It is like the same ayah. Look. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ كما آمن الناس قالوا
quickly identify the letters and the حركات
قالوا
أحسن أنو مي
نو أنؤمن كما
that's correct
أنؤمن كما من ال
no
كما آمن
السفهاء آمن السفهاء
No, sir, it's Sufaha'u.
Yeah, you make a pause. Yeah.
Sufaha'u.
Yes, the next part.
Ala innahum.
Great.
La Sufaha'u.
Ala innahum. After innahum.
Innahum goes. After that is.
Again, we have whom. To whom we have.
Innahum.
One is your home, one is my home.
Is it innahum?
Ala innahum.
ألا إنهم
okay.
ألا إنهم هم السفهاء
great
هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون
ما شاء الله
that Thank was really
so
long that
can
was
you read it again
no make him read it
okay let me read it and listen to me وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ good meanings they have, really nice meanings. So, go on.
No, sir, your turn.
Yes?
Your turn.
Yeah, your turn, the next ayah.
My turn?
Yeah, yes. You read his ayah again.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love reading the Quran. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. How did I make the ha sound? نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
So basically,
نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. You know what I'm saying, right? Say this.
Surrender.
نَحْنُ
مستهزئون.
نحن مستهزئون.
مستهزئون. What do you say? You do not say he. Do you say he or he?
He.
He. That's the ha sound, okay? Always say that one. Because ha doesn't have any counterpart in English. The word ha, brother of Jim, doesn't have any counterpart, okay, in English. Cow, I was going to say cow. Doesn't have a cow in English. Doesn't have a counterpart in English, okay? So you just make a strong ha sound. For example, say hat.
Hat.
Helmet. He. Hum. House. That's the sound of ha. But the sound of ha is the sound of h. He. Okay? Min hal. Hussein, say. Read the next line.
So some places that there is hajimi and head. The chishmi is really hard to...
Yeah, yeah. Hey, chishmi. Hey, du chish.
Yeah,
hey. Hey, du chishmi. In Farsi, we say hey, du chish. And hey, halwa, we have say. Yes?
Yeah, hey, halwa.
Hey, halwa.
And hey, jimmy.
If someone does not know how to write halwa with ha or ha, he will misunderstand it again.
Min, no.
Hey, haywan, okay?
Haywan.
Hey, haywan.
Mihan.
Okay.
Mi haywan.
Hey, min hal, we say.
Hey, mi
okay, min hal.
Hey, mi haywan.
Read the next time, inshallah. Go on.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Let's see how does he start the Hamzatul Wasl. Because Allah has Hamzatul Wasl. Oh, I did it. I said it. You
want
to continue
reading?
Our Windows is loading.
Restart his brain so he can... I think it's
it is your turn.
He's malfunctioning.
I know. Okay, what's the third letter here? The third.
First letter has no haraka, but the second letter has.
The third letter or the third word?
Third word.
Ba and ha and mim. Be him. Go on. Continue.
I figured it out.
Yeah.
I think once he scans, okay, all the ayah, then he comes back and start. Yes.
Yeah, I figured it out.
That's correct. Loading. Yes. It out. That's nice. Okay, there is one good sentence. I think this is hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. I forgot. Okay,
so
I don't know.
Internet
I'm not sure.
Needs salawat.
Yes.
Get up.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farjum. Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad. There is one sentence. It says that whenever you want to step, okay, somewhere, before stepping somewhere, look where do you step on. Okay, where
because
do you step?
Because if you're just
okay?
walking, there may
look
be
forward,
a dog,
and then
a
step.
Maybe
that's
there
why
be
he is doing the same thing.
Step on it.
Yeah, he's doing the same thing. First, he looks, okay, scans everything, then he goes and starts. That's great, yes? That's kind of a wise thing to do, yes?
Yes. If you look and step all the time, our head should be down.
Yes, go on. Bin Hussein, go on.
Illahu.
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 Is it Illahu?
Illahu. Illahu.
So can I say?
Maybe.
So if the word has alif lam, how do you read it when you start from that word?
So can I say?
Allahu.
Allahu Akbar.
I thought we don't read alif.
Hamzatul Wasl. Because you start from that word, it will be changed to Hamzatul Qata. You have to read it.
Allahu yastahzi'u.
So how do you read it?
Allahu.
Allahu or Allahu?
Allahu yastahzi'u. That's how you read it.
Allahu. Allahu. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu.
Okay. Allahu.
Allahu yastahzi'u.
I'm not sure about that.
Ni.
Said
yastahzi'u. Allahu yastahzi'u.
Allahu yes.
You got the easy
eye. Yastahzi'u nihim.
Nihim is the dot on the top or at the bottom?
Bihim.
Okay. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim.
Wa ya'mudduhum fi tugh. Fi tugh. Tugh. Ya. Fi tugh. Ya. Nihim. Him, yeah.
Read faster now.
Allahu yastahzi'u.
Allahu no. Allahu.
Allahu yastah.
Not too heavy.
Yastah.
Allahu
yastahzi'u. Ni bihim. Wa yamudduhum. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Wa yamudduhum. Fi tuk. Ya-nihim ya-muhum.
Ya-mahum.
Ya-muhum.
Make the sound of ayn clear.
Ya-mahum.
Great.
Yes, say the ayn like how you say your name. Min, min al.
By the way, that's ha, not ayn. Min al-Husayn.
Min ayn.
Great. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. Muhammad Yahya.
Ulaika alladhina ishtaraw ad-dalalata bil huda.
No, not him, you.
No,
after
him.
You is me. How are you?
Muhammad Yahya. Ulaika. Ika, not ulayika. Ulaika Hamza.
So you're saying
read the Hamza as Hamza. Okay?
Okay. Ulaika alladhi.
No. Ula. You're just kind of changing it to ya. Do not change it to ya. Ulaika. Like u-i. U-i. Ulaika. U-ika. Ula. There is one lam extra there, okay? U-ika. Say u-ika.
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 Now ulaika.
أولئك.
Yes, read the ayah.
أولئك الذين اشتروا والضلالة والضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين.
أحسن. ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Okay. Inshallah, after reciting the salawat, we'll come back and recite the next page. Okay. We'll go on. Inshallah, continue. Let's recite a salawat. Inshallah, we will be back. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
reality.
Back to reality. Back to
it's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers, ladies and gentlemen from every single corner of the world, wherever you are, welcome to your program. This is Arab English Radio. You're hearing me from Back to Reality. I am your humble host, Asma, and here with me I have two very dear guests, Brother Hassanain and Brother Sayyid Jaffa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Very pleased to meet you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for being here. So, as the ritual of this program, at the very beginning, we ask about the academical background of your study. So, shall you please tell us a little bit about your study?
Yeah, sure. I'm Hassanain and I'm from India. I'm an Islamic seminary student and studying in here in Qom.
So, wish you all the best. And you, brother?
Thank you. My name is Sayyid Jaffer. I'm from America. And I, myself, am also a seminary student. Studying here in Qom.
So wish you luck. Thank you for being here. Well, today you're very inactive and silent. There's nothing in front of you, which means you are...
I'm fasting.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of that.
Which...
Normally, I can see you're really energetic and...
Yes, not like always.
Yeah.
So probably you're listening to us in the holy month of Ramadan, which I hope you a very amazing and fruitful month. But today that we are recording this audio for you, actually we are 1 month away from the holy month, but Brother Jaffa is fasting and we too are not fasting. Mm-hmm. So...
Jaffer is desperately waiting for Ramadan. He cannot wait for all the thawab.
He's gathering their words all together. Why do people do that before the holy month? What's the gift of fasting before the holy month?
In a sense, there's two aspects of fasting. You can look at it from, say, the physical aspect of, you know, not eating and say...
The physical aspect is suffering.
Well, to some, if you say, look, I'm not eating all day for, say, 16, 18 hours, for some countries, even like 20 plus even, hours.
Yes.
The common folk depict this as, oh, you're starving, you're suffering, you're causing a hardship upon yourself. But in a sense, even modern doctors say you should fast at different intervals. Again, they're not saying you fast like every day, all day for the whole year, but there are times within the year that you should fast. And in Islam as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a month for us to fast. Mm-hmm. Because it has physical positive effects on us and also spiritual positive effects on us. Now, in the physical side, you could say...
I want your opinion personally.
How
do you feel when you fast? And why do you do that?
It's obligatory on all Muslims to do it. But then also...
But many people do it when it's not an obligation. They do it perhaps just to get closer to God.
Yeah, it's one form of getting closer to God. It's also there to help you understand the hardships other people around the world might be having.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not everyone is well off. Not everyone always has food on the table. So it gives you that aspect of, look, there might be someone in another place, in another part of the world, who might be experiencing these hardships.
Yes.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Okay, let's move to Brother Hassanain. What's your personal opinion on fasting?
Like, I've seen many people, you know, before the month of Ramadan, many Muslims, in fact. These words are rotated around social media.
Let's make it clear for those who do not know what we're talking about. We're talking about fasting in other months other than the holy month. We have 1 month only, that's an obligation to fast in it. But the other months, when people do it, it's a question, why they do it?
Wait.
There is no obligation.
If you ask me about fasting and am I really starving and like why am I striving for it? Like, am I hurting myself? Mm-hmm. Am I putting myself into a difficult situation? Well, there are two types of fast in Islam. One's obligatory and one's mustahab, which means recommended fast. But if you talk about the obligatory fast that that is in the month of Ramadan, which is all obligatory on all Muslims, over here, I really don't want to talk about the, you know, the health benefits mm-hmm. and, you know, the consequences of it. You know, you gain thawab and you have these medical benefits. You know, nowadays you get to see, you know, all the doctors say that, you know, fasting is recommended. But for obligatory fast, how I see it, like my personal view, my personal opinion, you know, I see it from this perspective. You know, when we have come all this way, like you believed in Allah. Mm-hmm. And you know that He's your creator.
Yes.
Like you discovered a creator, like there's a God, He's Allah. When you believed in Him, and you also believe that He has the right to do like whatever He can.
He has set some rules.
Yeah,
for us.
He has set the norms for us to be followed. Yeah, to be followed. Then again, yeah, you have understood that, you know, God has made certain things obligatory on us, mm-hmm. and He's your creator. He's your Lord, basically. So now, when this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made obligatory upon you mm-hmm. to fast in the holy month of Ramadan. So I see it in this perspective, like He is my master. So in order to obey my law,
so, you know,
I have to fast.
We don't have a problem with that part. There are obligations we have to do. I'm asking about the people who are fasting before the holy month, which there is no obligation.
Okay.
They do that?
Yeah, when you talk about the recommended
because
fast.
Because I'm an outsider, I look at it from my viewpoint, you're suffering so much and you could do some other stuff to get closer to God. You could help an orphan or, I don't know, do some other things. Why do fasting?
Okay, my personal take on this is, like, you know, if you're talking about mustahab or the recommended fast, which are not obligatory, you know, for me, fasting makes me more mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because, you know, fasting, if you really go inside the meaning of fasting, it's not just, you know, not eating food.
Exactly.
It's also, you know, stopping ourselves from sins. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, not eating or not drinking. It's also, you know, not committing sins with our eyes, with our mouth or with our hands. Or we just don't walk, to commit a sin. We have to stop all these things, right? You know, if you look at it from this perspective, you know, not eating food, like, you know, this is the physical side of it and the spiritual side of it. You know, you get more mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It makes you more considerate.
Yeah, more considerate about, you know, it makes you like muttaqi, mindful of Allah. Like,
yes.
It makes you pious.
That's very true.
You could also say it, in a sense, it detaches you from this world.
Exactly.
In a sense where you're not so connected to this world because, again, you're preventing yourself because God, like, in a sense, you're doing this for God. And in a sense where, look, there's something more than just this physical body. Mm-hmm. There's something more than just this physical world. So by, in a sense, cutting yourself off from some aspects of this world, mm-hmm. you can transcend to a world higher than this world.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Just to make it clear for those who do not have any idea about fasting and things that we're talking about, it has been said that there is a happiness, two happiness for the people who fast. One is in Sahar and one is in Iftar. In both of these times are such a spiritual feelings in the person who have done the fasting, which makes it so precious that they take all the suffering throughout the day to get into these two moments, right? Mm-hmm. Am I right or not? It's the feeling of fasting is something that gives you some good vibes, as the modern people call it. if we do not call it the reward.
Yeah, there's a sense of fulfillment in this.
Yes, you feel like it has really had some good effects on you. Just the detachment you talked about.
Yeah.
It's not the real world. I completely agree with
that. That there is a sense of fulfillment at both times. In the sense where, look, you're making that intention that, look, now I'm going to try to, in a sense, detach myself from this world and focus on other things. The same thing that Brother Hassanain said. Look, when you're fasting, it's not just you're starving yourself. But in a sense, your outlook and your viewpoint of the world changes. It's not now, typically you would go and you're not really paying that much attention on a normal day compared to, suppose, a day that you're fasting, where you're more aware of what you're doing, what you're seeing, exactly. What you're listening to, what you're, I guess you're not eating in this sense, but like what you're thinking about, what you're doing with your body as well, compared to normal days where for most people it just goes right over their head, where they don't really have a care about what's happening and what they're doing and in what way they're doing
that's it. That's very true. Now, if somebody asks you, what will you gain of this fasting, what would you say?
Okay, what you will gain, it's a two-sided answer, because what people expect when you say what will you gain is like a physical gain from this. That look, oh, you do this and you get, suppose, like a monetary reward afterwards. But over here, fasting is, in a sense, is an action to elevate yourself, where the reward isn't more physical, but more spiritual in a sense.
That is very true.
Getting oneself more closer to God, right? Feeling that achievement of fulfillment towards the end of a fast and at the start of a fast is that closeness that you know you've taken a couple more steps closer to God than you did, suppose, the day before.
But if you maybe some audience would ask you, then you can say your prayers in order to get closer to God. What would you tell them?
The same thing applies to prayers.
Nah, the thing about prayers is, like, you know, the difference between fast and prayer is, like, you pray, you have to pray Salah, like, you have to pray Fajr Salah. Like, there's this two-unit prayer, right? Like, that takes hardly 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But fasting, it lasts, like, you know, from sunrise until the sunset.
You have to take care of yourself for more time.
Yeah, for more time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like more like, you know, you're praying Salah. Like, for those few minutes, you're like you're
focused.
You're focused and you're the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
But like fasting is like, it's like almost half of the day.
It's that same focus, but it's just over a longer period of time.
Yes, that's very true.
And rewards, if you talk about, you know, the abundant rewards and...
So right now we are in Back to Reality talking about fasting before the holy month, which is the obligation. Many people go for fasting in a voluntarily sense, and they do it in order to get closer to God. And the two very dear guests made it very much clear for us. Why they do it and what are going to be their words of fasting. So thank you for letting us know more about the feelings of a person who has been fasting. Thank you, Brother Jaffa. Though you were fasting, you helped us a lot. Yes, and pray for us, of course. Don't forget us.
I was saying that, you know, we shouldn't forget that we get good food as well.
Yes, that's the reward. I hope that's not the only reward. So thank you for listening to us. This was Back to Reality. Until another session.